So in November, remember, we were talking about the Lord's Prayer. He taught the disciples, as they said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And now we're going to follow him as he continues to teach all those following him in that day, the first century, more and more lessons about the kingdom of God. So let's turn to Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 5. These are one of the stories in Luke that's unique, which are many. Before we start, though, Larry, would you pray over the word today, please?
Our dear kind Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the word. And thank you, Jesus, for coming and sharing your words with us, guide us. We pray now for the Holy Spirit to fall upon Randy, to guide his words and what he says to be in line with the Father. Fall upon our ears that we can hear. We ask in your holy name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Luke 11, verse 5. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Thank you for your word. This parable has always been puzzling to me. So as I began to study it, I found that other translations helped me to begin to understand what Jesus is saying and actually how it applies to Jesus teaching the disciples to pray as we went through the first 4 verses, and also what Jesus says following this parable. They're all linked together. Please first see that no time has passed from the previous verses where Jesus teaches the disciples to pray, what we now call the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is now continuing that subject of prayer. So with this thought in mind, it says, then he said to them, there's no time taking place. I'm going to read this again in the contemporary English version. Then Jesus went on to say, suppose one of you goes to a friend in the middle of the night and says, let me borrow 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine has dropped in, and I don't have a thing for him to eat. And suppose your friend answers, don't bother me. The door is bolted, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. He may not get up and give you the bread just because you are his friend, but he will get up and give you as much as you need simply because you are not ashamed to keep on asking. This helped me really understand where Jesus was going with this. So first, let's look at this example. In the culture of that day, it is assumed that one must be a generous host. Jesus here puts the hearer in the position as the one being asked to host a friend. The hearer, you and I, have a choice. Be rude, be a rude host, or get food from somewhere, since we don't have any. The host chose to be a good host and seek some bread in the middle of the night from another friend living nearby. It's important. It's in the middle of the night. The friend was not expected. He just dropped in. He's, in a sense, kind of desperate because it's midnight. He should be finding a place to stay. What happened, why he showed up so late, we don't know. But he showed up late, comes to his friend, and his friend doesn't have anything. So he goes to his friend, and his friend doesn't want to be disturbed. So the friend you and I go to in this story does not wish to be disturbed at all. The door is locked. We're all in bed. I can't get up, our friend says to us. See, in an ancient house, all the members of the family would have slept in one room. And to pull the rod on the door would have awakened the children, the family. And here we see in the word persistence, and in the NIV it's boldness. Almost all the other translations, the word is persistence. And here it refers to a shameless boldness, more than just a tenacity, more than just not going to quit. Jesus' point is that in prayer, the disciple is to be bold. And I never saw that piece. The example in the parable is a man who goes boldly to his neighbor to seek what he requires. And so likewise, Jesus is saying the disciple is to go boldly to God for that which is needed. The Lord gave this illustration to show God's willingness to hear us and answer the petitions of his children. As we read just a minute ago, he will get up and give you as much as you need simply because you are not ashamed to keep on asking. At first, the neighbor was annoyed by the interruption to his sleep and didn't bother to even get up, basically saying, go away. Yet because of the prolonged banging and shouting of this worried host that he couldn't be a good host to the person who just arrived at his house, he finally did give up and get up and give him what he needed. So at the same time as we look at this illustration, we've got to be careful to avoid certain conclusions. It doesn't mean that God is annoyed, first of all, by our persistent requests. We're not annoying God when we keep praying the same thing to him over and over. And it doesn't suggest that the only way to get our prayers answered is to simply be persistent. But it does teach that if a man is willing to help a friend because of the friend's desperate need here, who keeps on asking, how much more is God willing to hear the cries, the repeated cries of his children? It teaches us that we should not grow weary or discouraged in our prayer life. I seem to miss that piece as I always read over this, and I've read it over I don't know how many dozens of times. We should not grow weary or discouraged in our prayer life. And so I read this in Matthew Henry's commentary. It's very interesting. He wrote, we prevail with men by importunity because they are displeased with it. What is importunity? I had to look it up, so don't feel bad. It means a persistent or urgency in requesting or demanding something. And every commentary I wrote constantly used that word, importunity. So apparently it's pretty popular some years back. But I had to look it up. It means an urgent demanding of something. And we will prevail with men with that urgency and that demanding, even though we are the person we are dealing with is displeased with it. But the point is we prevail with God because he is pleased with it. God is pleased with our persistence. He is pleased with us coming to him urgently and almost demanding things. And so with that in mind, this parable can be very useful to us in directing our prayers. First, we must come to God with boldness and with confidence for what we need. You see, the man went to his neighbor because he knew his neighbor loved him and had food. So he went there. We go to God knowing he loves us and he is inclined help us, just as this friend knew that his neighbor loved him and is inclined to be kind to him. Second, we must come for bread, meaning for that which is needed and for which we cannot be without. He needed bread for his hungry friend who just showed up in the middle of the night. And we must come to him by prayer for others as well as for ourselves. This man did not come for bread for himself, but for his friend. We cannot come to God upon a more pleasing errand than when we come to him for grace to enable us to do good, to feed many, to entertain or edify those who come to us. Fourth, we may come with even more boldness to God in a very difficult time. If this difficulty is one, specifically, that we have not brought upon ourselves into it by our own folly, our own carelessness. But providence has led us into it. God has led us into this difficult time. Now, see, this man would not have wanted bread in the middle of night if his friend had not come so unexpectedly. And we also ought to continue instant in prayer. Something comes up, we instantly think, pray, and then we watch for an answer with all perseverance. So let's continue now as Jesus teaches in prayer, following along here in verses 9 and 10. So we see that he's saying, be bold. Now he's saying, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. The Greek words used for ask, seek, and knock here are in the present tense, meaning it's a continuous action. The One New Man Bible reads, you must continually ask, and it will be given to you. You must continually seek. You must continually knock. William Barclay translates it in a similar way from the Greek. Keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find it. Keep on knocking, and it will be opened to you. The Greek words used here imply persistence, a persevering attitude of asking, seeking, and knocking. It's kind of almost like we're building up to it. We start by asking, and then we're really looking for it, and then we're knocking on the door. Matthew Henry, once again, says this command in three words has the same purpose. That is, in one word, pray, pray often, pray with sincerity and sincereness and seriousness. Pray and pray again. Be conscious of prayer and be constant in it. Make a business of prayer and be earnest in it. It's that continual conversation with God. Jesus assures us here that everyone will receive, everyone will find, everyone will have the door opened. What a great promise from God. He doesn't show any hesitation. If you then, he said, everyone who asks will receive. Everyone. So now let us read the comparison Jesus makes to help us understand what he means, and what's God's love for us here, and his God's intention to give us good things. Verse 11, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Or he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Other translations will say, if he asks for bread, you'll give him a stone. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Matthew says to give you good things. Here, though, this is later on, and now Jesus is saying, we'll give you the Holy Spirit. Jesus teaches here that God will never deceive us by giving us a stone when we ask for bread. And you have to remember the bread in those days, a lot of them were just little round bread pieces. And they look like a stone that you pick up out of the river. And God's not going to deceive us. It was shaped like a little fat stone that resembled a stone. And God will never mock us by giving us something inedible when we ask for food. When we ask for a fish, he won't give us a serpent, meaning something that might destroy us or harm us. If we ask for an egg, he will not give us a scorpion. Why that? Because when a scorpion is all curled up, it kind of looks like an egg. And it's all curled up and protecting itself. But it's something that can cause great pain and harm. A human father will not give bad gifts, even though he has a sinful nature. He knows how to give good gifts to his children. How much more is our Heavenly Father willing to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Again, if people who are evil can get good gifts, imagine the value of the gifts of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I looked up 11:13 in the Amplified Bible, and it says, if you then, as evil as you are, know how to give good gifts, gifts that are to their advantage to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask? Jesus is now directing us what to pray for here, the Holy Spirit. And it's significant that the gift he selects is as the one that we most need and the one he most desires to give us, the Holy Spirit. When Jesus spoke these words, the Holy Spirit had not been given yet. Today, the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in us as we accepted Christ as our Savior. But it is still certainly proper and necessary to pray for the Holy Spirit in other ways. We should pray that we will be teachable by our Holy Spirit. Amen? That we will be guided by the Spirit, and that His power will be poured out on us in all of our service to Christ, our Savior. One commentary I read noted, it is quite possible that when Jesus taught the disciples to ask for the Holy Spirit, He was referring to the power of the Spirit, enabling them to live this otherworldly type of discipleship, which He had been teaching in the preceding chapters that we read in Luke. So in all this time, He's been with them. By this time, they were probably feeling how utterly impossible it was for them to meet the tests of discipleship in their own strength. This is, of course, true. Amen? We all know that. The Holy Spirit is the power that enables one to live the Christian life. So Jesus pictures God as anxious to give this power to those who ask for it. He's just anxious to give it to us. So if we look at this closer, in fact, in the original Greek, verse 13 does not say that the God will give the Holy Spirit. The word "the" is gone. It's not there. It's been added to make it a little bit easier for us to understand it. It rather says He will give Holy Spirit. And it was pointed out that when the article is present, it refers to the person Himself. The Holy Spirit is the person, the third person in the Trinity. But when the article is absent, which it actually is in this case, it refers to His gifts or His operations on our behalf. So in this passage, it is not so much a prayer for the person of the Holy Spirit. Have we accepted Christ? We have the person of the Holy Spirit. But rather for His ministries in our lives. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is what we're praying for. And another thing that's really cool here is that the words that are translated Holy Spirit in the Greek actually mean the sacred, physically pure, morally blameless breath of God. Because it's pneuma. Spirit is pneuma. And holy is sacred, physically pure, and morally blameless. So this prayer is for our Lord to give us the sacred, physically pure, morally blameless breath of God that will superimpose itself upon us so that we can do what pleases Him. So lastly, from the pulpit commentary, he wrote, "How many requests are made by us, poor, short-sighted, often selfish men and women, which, if granted, would be harmful rather than beneficial to the asker? Hear the Lord, the reader of our hearts, having taken notice of some of the deep, earnest longings, perhaps scarcely crystallized into prayer, of His own disciples." So he's talking about Jesus, His own disciples of a John or a James, pictures the case of one who deserves a special deepening of the spiritual life and prays some prayer for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Such a prayer, Christ says here, must be granted. How much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So as we go to the communion table, let us remember our Savior and what He did to rescue us. But let us also heed His words and pray for Him to give us that power, that presence, that breath of God, that morally blameless breath of God to live our lives in accordance to His will for each one of us. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes that feels like a big ask, but for You it's nothing because You're telling us to do it. You're telling us to come boldly to the throne of grace. You're telling us that he who asks, receives, seeks, finds, knocks, the door will be open. And You're telling us here, how much more would You just give us the Holy Spirit if we would simply ask? So here we simply ask. As we go to the communion table, Lord, we thank You for what You've done. You've brought us back. You've restored us to the family of God. You've rescued us from the pit of hell and set us upon a rock and have attached us to You. And You are the anchor of our soul as You sit on the right hand of the Father and intercede for us. Let us rest in that, and let us continually, persistently pray and especially pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, that pure, morally blameless breath of God, to superimpose itself upon us so that we might live a life that is pleasing unto you. Hear our prayers. Hallelujah. Amen.